Good morning, Liberian. It is good to be with you today for our sermon conversation. As you can see, there are just two of us. I would love to say that was just wonderfully planned. No, actually, it's been interesting as we have listened to the conversations and been a part of conversations over the last two Sundays. Pastor Lena said, you know what? Let's call an audible. And this week, let's talk about what we've heard. So today, our sermon conversation is going to be a lot about the things we've been hearing and talking with others about, the wonderful conversations that have followed after the sermon. And many of you may, who have been a part of those conversations, you may recognize some of the things you said. And that is great. That is a really, we find, as I just think that's wonderful. So as you know, our norm, join the conversation in the chat, share with someone who needs to hear about some of the things that you've been talking about, that we've been talking about together as a community. And to me, this is exactly what Liberian as a community is all about, right? That there's conversations that we're a part of, sharing and learning from each other, growing together, facing hard realities as a community and not in isolation. And so much of that, I think, are things that may come up in our talk today. So, Pastor Lena, right? Is that where we are right now, right?
I think so. Many of you, since we went virtual and we kind of were trying this format of conversations rather than kind of, one person every single Sunday, what has been surprising to me is the resonance with many of you about enjoying the format of several voices. And so what that says to me, in the midst of a lot of the things that we're talking about, I just want to sort of plant in all of us this to pay attention to the way that things are changing and how we understand church, what it looks like. Honestly, if we come back and when we come back, how do we continue to have this kind of interactive conversation with people who are on the screen, but also with all of you? So, Tally's right. We kind of switched it up. I think it was Sunday or Monday. I called Tally and I said, "Hey, I feel like we need to let it breathe a little bit, some of the things that we've talking about." And so, that's why we're both here today and, looking forward to this conversation. So, as he said, chat it up, use the chat function. Tally, myself, others are in the chat with you and able to have some conversation about what you hear. So, let's give this a go.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. I'll start with this. Pastor Lena, one of the things that I have been surprised about in the last two sermons and the subsequent conversations was the readiness of people to move forward. I was, as a preacher, as a pastor, you hope people are activated and want to mobilize and want to act. I was surprised because we were talking about some huge issues, uncertainty, not just uncertainty, but the myth of certainty, right? That our structures like 401k plans and other structures of society where we were putting trust and then there were folks who've never experienced certainty speaking up and going, "Wait, you all get to experience certainty? These are huge issues."
I think the beauty of a community like Liberian is we have the breadth of those experiences. We have folks who are actually, wrestling with, what about my 401k? And then we have others who are like, I don't have a 401k, And so I think the beauty of our community is diverse enough in so many ways that we have embodied experience in a lot of things that create that create for us opportunities to talk meaningfully about what does it mean to be Christian and people of faith. But also, you know, I think we also are wrestling with, yeah, how do we, you know, how do we be in relationship to one another when those, both those perspectives are coming from different worldviews, right? Mm-hmm. And so I, you know, it's been, as one of the pastors in our congregation who sits in those, you know, in those conversations with many of all of you, it's been interesting to see. And I've, you know, we're not pros at this. None of us, you know, are. I wish I could say, you know, we have this amazing multicultural experience and everybody knows and the others experience. We're not, we're close. We're getting closer. We're getting better. Right. We're not quite there. And I often feel that tension, you know, as a person who's part of this congregation. And I think that shows up some in the ways that I'm wrestling with the conversation itself.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Are there, I mean, there are ways we wrestle as pastors with conversations like this. One of the things that I've heard from people that we've talked about a little bit is that people are struggling with the idea of, you know, our structures and systems and the way in which this may be for us a kind of first step towards decolonizing our faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't, and
that's a lot. That's a lot. Right.
And that's, you know, just for, I don't know how many people in that are listening to the conversation have heard that term of decolonizing our faith, decolonizing the way that we see, the way that we move in community, the ways that I look at our education system and what does that mean to decolonize. And yeah, so that's, that could be, you know, weird for people if they've never really heard that, but I want to also want to say it's a very helpful perspective as Christians who are trying to discover what is, you know, what does justice look like? What does peace look like? And realizing that many of the systems and the structures and the ways that we relate are built on harmful practices. And the way as Christians now to enter into that is to take this really hard look and go, what does it mean to recover? When I think about decolonizing faith, what I'm talking about is recovering the intent of, you know, God's heart for shalom and justice in the world.
Well, one aspect of that decolonizing as a male is decentering male perspectives.
And,
right. So I'm used to walking in church and other places and having things designed for me. Mm-hmm. So this kind of decolonizing faith decenters me. And there's some anxiety around that. Right. I've talked with others. Obviously, this is where it's coming from, is as a pastor, people are concerned that they're not being thought about now. Mm. Where before the structures and systems are, and they're coming, there's this awareness happening, right? Where they're going, wait a minute. Who's thinking about me? Are you still concerned about me? Like, and I can feel that as a male. Right. Mm-hmm. Definitely as I can feel that. But what I'm learning more and more is that the structures and systems do not have to be centered around me for one, God to love me. Two, that God doesn't use the structures and systems alone to show that love towards me. And that really, in part, I am called to allow that decentering to go with it as a way of honoring God. Hmm. That God is actually at the forefront of not only my life, but of the structures and systems. That is the way we cede control to God. It's by going, you know what? It's okay for me not to be centered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I would just ask, you know, folks who are listening to the conversation, just to take a moment and, you know, if you would, you know, answer the question, has your story, your narrative, your personhood, your privilege, your gender, how has that been centered in such a way that has maybe caused harm to others whose stories not only are they not centered, they're not even really considered, right? And so what ends up happening is that those whose stories and narratives and experiences are not centered, it creates this weird dynamic of, then how am I seen? How am I heard? How am I considered? And, you know, to have to assimilate in some ways in order to, mm-hmm. to succeed in the existing structure. Right. So, I would invite you, like Miriam, to just take a moment and, you know, for self-reflection in this time. And I feel like our community, you know, kudos to our folks. I feel like people are pretty willing to go there and to reflect. But if you wouldn't mind, you know, just put it in the chat, say how has my story, my narrative, my experience been centered in such a way that invisibilizes others, makes others not seen, not heard, not considered. Ooh. Yeah. And when that happens, that feeling of uncertainty, like, what about me? What about me? You said this last week, Tally, and I'm wondering if I could bring this in, something about in uncertain moments, you know, everybody sort of pulls in and says, you know, save yourself first. And then if there's anything left over, you know, then think about other people. And I was thinking about that earlier today and going, gosh, if everybody did that, I mean, if we lived in a society where you were actually open-handed with what we have, then everybody's needs would be met, actually. Right. Mm-hmm. But we don't, as a habit, we still are kind of suffering from what I would say is a part of colonization, right? Is this viewpoint that says there's not enough. So I have to get enough for me.
Yeah. And this is for me a big part of what Michael's contribution to this conversation last week was really important for me. To learn and to hear. And in part, what Michael was sharing was what this system, this capitalist system really does. Not that there is a perfect, utopia system out there, right? But what it does have and how it impacts us is we sometimes forget to be present to today because we're so concerned about tomorrow. And in a global pandemic, that's completely understandable why we would be concerned about tomorrow, right? What's going to happen next year? Are we ever going to be back in the building together? What does all these future questions? And yet the scripture calls us back, as Michael was saying, to be present to today, one, and to be present to each other during this time, right? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, funny story. I was talking to a guy today who was concerned about violence in our neighborhood. And he was like, save yourself. Right. He said, that's what I'm doing. I'm saving myself. I got my guns. And I thought, okay, come on. And I shared with him how the people he's talking about, I'm a part of their lives, the young men that he's afraid of. We're in community, and maybe if he was in community with them, that might change this approach to kind of save yourself mentality that he is like really holding on to. I thought that was very helpful, right? To hear, and I was excited that Michael shared that, right? That they're young adults thinking that way about the gospel, the good news.
What is the good news right now, right? In a very real and tangible way. I think, you know, this idea of save yourself, you know, take care of you, it's all driven by this fear, right? And this moment of those moments of uncertainty, right? And I do think that God, so many places in scripture where, you know, the admonition, the commandment, the instruction from God is do not fear. right? And I think fear is one of those things that is such a part of our human experience that it's, you know, understandable, but then what, and I think God knew that. And so God speaks to it continuously. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you think about themes in scripture, fear, love, right? Resource, how we view our resources. Those are all kind of things that I think to pay attention to. And, you know, God says, we'll hear more about this next week with Liz and Michelle Lang and, you know, and Paul Kim, Liz Jenkins. They're going to talk a little bit about the passage in Matthew that says, you know, it's hard. It's hard when the scripture says, don't worry, you know, do not worry about tomorrow. and I think worry here often show up in tandem in scripture. And there's something there for us that God is saying as part of our formation as people of faith is to actually investigate, interrogate, where is that fear coming from? Mm-hmm. You know, what is it in us that kind of caves? And I'm preaching to Lena Thompson. Those of you that I'm a worrier. I am a worrier. And so, you know, all things, you know, 100, I've spent a lot more time. I'm finding myself a lot more time in prayer because I feel that fear in a very real way, the worry about uncertain things. Yeah.
And you've been kind of, if we were to forecast next week, Michelle Lang Raymond and Liz Jenkins and Paul Kim and their sermons on next week, you've actually been praying a particular text around, is it Philippians 4?
Yeah.
It is that don't worry about anything, but in all things by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God and the peace of God that surpasses Jesus. All understanding.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Shall keep your today. Hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
It is, I think that's a decolonizing practice. I would hold that to pray that kind of text in a world that says, be afraid, in a world that says, save yourself, in a world that says, protect yourself, guard yourself, isolate yourself. These are the means by which people are saved in this world, right?
Yeah.
And saved from this world.
Yeah.
This praying this is the opposite of that.
And it's decolonizing the way that you just, all the things that you just named, that is kind of the way that we have learned to live, right? And this prayer, this particular prayer that you're pointing out is a prayer of, you know, resisting that way, those things, you know, the other scriptures that I've been praying through, you know, have to do with what am I focused on right now? Because I can get really worried about things, and so much so that, you know, the passage that says whatever things are true, whatever things are in that passage, I have to go back to scripture and pray those things for me. And so, you know, I feel like you're right. It is a decolonizing of, you know, the ways that we have learned to see and live and give ourselves over to this fear of uncertain things. Uncertainty.
Yeah, I think it's Crystal, my wife, who kind of triggered something in me in a good way that has me really thinking about my walk with God, and it has to do with, she was talking about so many people in this world don't have certainty at all. They've never known it. Right. And the way that is traumatizing and the way that is debilitating. And then there are those who right now are fearing the loss of certainty. And that's such a, I'll use this term and it may set some folks off, but it's such a privileged experience to be able to go, oh no, I'm losing certainty. And for many people in our community and the Liberian community, there, it seems like everybody is in one of those camps. Oh no, I'm losing certainty. To what is certainty? Like, is that like my daily bread is uncertainty. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it tomorrow. I don't know if my kids are going to be able to make it tomorrow. That's most of the world. That's Afghanistan. That's Iraq. right? That's Syria. Mm. That's Burundi and Rwanda. And there's so many countries right now where people are experiencing, they're grabbing for certainty. Can I just have some certainty in my life? Can I know that tomorrow will be? If that is not, for me, a call to have that kind of faith, I don't know what is, right? To have that kind of faith that says, God, I can only trust you for tomorrow. Because if I grab a hold of any kind of structure, it is slippery, it is tainted, and it is damaging to my soul. I need to be able to look to you to go, if I'm going to make it, it's going to be because you and the people you have empowered to be community to me can help me get there.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I think, you know, I know we're getting ready to, because I'm sure we all could sit in this conversation for a very long time, but, you know, there's a reason why we pray daily, you know, daily bread. And I also think this is so connected to our interdependence on with each other. The lie of the part of the myth of certainty is that you can get it on your own. And, you know, I think that if there's ever a time for us to lean into the way that God created us, which is to be in relationship, we have need of each other. And the myth of certainty says, I can be okay on my own. And that's how I make sure that things are certain, is because it's dependent on me. And so when the rug gets pulled out, all of a sudden, you know, you begin to realize that, no, that's not the way it goes. And so, you know, as we move forward into the weeks ahead, just if there's some things that I just would like to encourage all of you to sit with is, you know, the idea of, you know, decentering ourselves. And also this notion of, you know, this idea of interdependence. If we're going to make it through this time well and healthy as a community, and I'm not, when I say healthy, I don't mean perfect. I just mean, you know, we got each other. That's kind of what I mean. You know, it's going to be with a little bit of having to give up some things and extend ourselves a little bit.
Yeah.
So, you know, thank you to those of you that are thinking about ways of extending and inviting others. I know that there's a bike ride going on today that the Suarez family is hosting. Thanks to them for doing that. I know Liz is offering a hike sometime in October. There's a few conversations that are coming your way. And all of this is just to help us live into this notion of, you know, interdependence and just practicing being community with one another.
Amen. And that is a beautiful thing. Even those of us who are more introvert, it is so good, Lena. Thank you so much for the opportunity to kind of revisit some of these conversations. This is not the end of these conversations, but really just the beginning for so many of these conversations. So I am excited for what is to come, and also in many ways afraid of what that means.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's good. That's just right. And this both bitter and sweet experience is what we are designed for, and it's what our faith is designed for. So let's walk in it and continue to see what comes forth from this journey. So
yep.
God bless you all. Until we see each other again.
And just again, another plug. I think next week is going to be another great opportunity to be around some of the same conversation. We don't know what, you know, as we said last week, you know, we don't know what tomorrow brings. You can plan and, you know, need to know at the last minute. We all know what this is like, have to switch up. But I'm looking forward to our preachers next week. So thanks, Tally.
And too.
Thanks.
God bless you, everyone. See you soon. Bye-bye.